Italian Wine Podcast. Cin Cin with Italian Wine People.
Hello, this is the Italian Wine Podcast with me, Monty Wood, and my guest today is Daniele Danna Bortolotti. Daniele's family winery is called Bortolotti. Whereabouts is your winery?
Our winery, it's a family-owned business based in Valdobbiadene village.
Where's that?
This is one of the two small villages of the Conegliano and Valdobbiadene Prosecco region in the northern east part of Italy.
So you're in Veneto or Friuli?
No, we are in Veneto, in province of Treviso, 60 kilometers northern than Venice, and nearly 60 kilometers from the Dolomites Alps. So just in the middle of the two main region, most renowned in the northern east part of Italy. And I'm the third generation, coming from a winery founded by my grandfather Umberto in 1947. And today I'm presenting our wines together with my uncle Bruno Bortolotti, that is together with my mom, the boss of the company, based in the town, in downtown of the village of Valdobbiadene.
So what's the population of Valdobbiadene? Because you see it on so many bottles, like millions of bottles of Prosecco.
You're right.
What is it like? Is it a big place with a cinema, a football stadium? Or is it a tiny little village with just a couple of dogs and an old man with his cat?
Maybe the second. There are many more vines and bottles than people there. I can tell you that more or less 10,000 people just in the Valdobbiadene village, and we are actually at the moment we are one of the 70 wineries in the Valdobbiadene town.
And 70 wineries in one town?
Yeah, just in the town. Yeah, and all the appellation, the Conegliano Valdobbiadene DOCG appellation, has more than 190 wineries who make sparkling wines there. And as a grower, producer, grape grower, producer.
So you mean you're making wine from your own grapes that you and your family have grown?
No, we are négociant manipulant. We buy collecting the grapes from growers of the Valdobbiadene village and some relatives in a closer area. But you can imagine that Valdobbiadene has more or less 70 wineries and more or less 1,500 growers, small as in agricola there.
So grape growers.
Grape growers. And for 7,000 hectares just in the Valdobbiadene area. So that's the curiosity about the million bottles produced in Valdobbiadene village.
So some people would say, oh, you know, you can't be very good because you don't grow enough grapes. And so what is the obviously this is what happens in Champagne and it works really well. So what are the advantages of being able to grow some of your own and to have grapes that you buy from growers?
You know, there was something that my grandfather Umberto was telling when he was there in charge, is that every person has its responsibility in doing what he's able to do better.
So in the chain of production.
Of production. So he was one of the first pioneer doing it, because there was just a grape growing, some winemaking made artisanally.
For family consumption.
Yeah.
And local sale, like local restaurants.
Yeah, self-consumption and for some locals, as a Venetians, just from the surrounding areas.
So when was your grandfather doing it? Was it in the 1950s, 1940s?
Yeah, he started in 1947.
So just after the war?
After World War II, together with other few pioneers, they collected the grape growers, making new way of the wine region quality. Main grape was the Prosecco. Grape was named such as Prosecco.
And now called Glera.
Now called Glera, exactly.
To avoid confusion.
Yeah, to avoid confusion.
Which is a rare thing in Italy.
are Italian. Yeah, you must remember that we are Italian. We love making confused people all around the world. So he collected the grape growers together with other grape growers, other winemaker, other pioneers of Valdobbiadene and Conegliano area. And so they collected from the ruins of the World War II the tradition of grape growing of Prosecco, of Verdiso, Bianchetta.
So these are other local
of
grapes.
Local indigenous grape variety, very close by the Prosecco grape. They collected the tradition in the vinification, and they evolved to a new level of a sparkling production thanks to new technologies, because now we are recognized as one of the most important industrial district for the Charmat method sparkling production system.
Also called the Martinotti method.
Or Martinotti or Metodo Italiano, or in our area we proudly call it Metodo Valdobbiadene, so,
right.
Because we blend the basic dry British wine together with grape juice. That is the only place in Italy that is allowed to do it.
And that creates the second fermentation.
Yeah,
in a sealed tank, under pressure. And then
Pressure, and then it can be bottled when the sparkling wine is ready.
You sounded a bit like a Queen song there. Under pressure. Sorry.
We will do a cuvée Freddie Mercury. Actually, they invented a new sparkling wine in a region that was renowned for light white wines.
Does that
or
put
same as sparkling white wines?
Does that put extra pressure on you as a family, seeing as your family had a key role to play in the creation, if we could say?
A little bit of inheritance, I'm feeling.
But does that
to protect a certain idea of what Prosecco it was before becoming popular? And easy stuff, cheap stuff, low perceived all around
with a low quality reputation.
Yeah, that's the point. So,
but incredibly popular.
It's incredibly popular. I mean, it was very local. It's still very local, but now it's very popular with a low perception because we were overtaken by the Prosecco.
So how do you get people to trade up? I mean, you mentioned these other grape varieties as well as the Glera or Prosecco grape like Bianchetta and Verdiso. People, growers and producers trying to make the blends a little bit more interesting. You're shaking your head a little bit, not too convinced? Or is that just a bit of a marketing tool?
To be different, I mean, we have to start from the name, and that's why we avoid to use the name Prosecco at the moment after 10 years. In the last 10 years, after the achievement of the DOCG recognition. So
what do you mean? You mean you're going to just call the wine Valdobbiadene instead of Prosecco del...
Yeah, because it's quite...
But isn't that a big risk?
It's quite easy. It can be a big risk, but we are still existing after 10 years. You know, we started together with other colleagues, actually, a bit strictly at the moment, because we say that there is a lot of Prosecco all around the world, but not all the Prosecco come from Valdobbiadene, that is recognized to be one of the most important places for Prosecco, higher quality.
And lower yields. So you're talking about Prosecco DOC against Valdobbiadene DOCG.
So you made automatically this idea. When I say Prosecco could come from Valdobbiadene, but a Valdobbiadene is automatically Prosecco who comes from the Valdobbiadene.
So what makes Valdobbiadene special? Is it the terroir, the climate, the hill, the soil, the blend?
So the terroir is the mix. Now is a marketing mix of the soils that are so diverse among the different hills. We are a long hilly land from west, where is Valdobbiadene, to east, that is Conegliano, who gave the name of the large appellation. There you can find a diversity among officially 43 villages, such as this happens in Champagne or in other areas in Italy, just to recognize a certain tradition and certain diversity there is among the hills of limestone soils, clay soils, rocks and soils. And
obviously the microclimate, because the further you get away from the Adriatic, the further inland you get, it gets a bit cooler.
And we are just at the foothills of the Prealps. Yeah. And we have the Dolomite Alps in behind of us.
But isn't that why the blend is best? That someone like you that is buying or has vineyards in different places, just like in Champagne, as you say, to get the best of everything.
Yeah, that's
the idea.
That is becoming popular among the producer, certain producers, because we have an instrument, let me call it, an instrument is... The Mention Rive is a brand new mention.
Rive is R-I-V-E.
R-I-V-E, like the sea front.
Like Riviera, yeah.
Like Riviera, yeah, more or less. It's a local dialect name of the steep hills, very steep, from 30, 40, 60% of steepness.
So if I go into a shop and I see the words Prosecco and Rive, I know that it's come from a hill slope.
Yeah, and is the most strict yield per hectare.
So lower yields.
Lowest yield per hectare. It has to be sparkling. It has to be recognized on the label in front, in the back. There is always Rive, with Rive D from the name, with the name of the village.
Okay, so what's the difference in taste? And I know you said that different villages have different, but in general, what if I just go and buy a basic Valdobbiadene,
I mean, basic, in virgolette, you know?
And then a Rive wine, what am I going to look for? Why? I say, hang on, this cost me an extra 3, 4, 5 euros, this bottle.
You're right.
What am I going to get for my money? What am I looking for?
You know, a blend from different vineyards could give you a certain, from a marketing point of view, I will say, I will call it a style maison. So a certain style given by the winemaking. So, and
it's consistent from year to year.
You will love to have a certain style every year. So it's like the top cuvée of the Maison de Champagne. It's, the sparkling producers are doing this as our 47 is basically the idea. And Rive, it's in our example, just to mention us, we do 4 single vineyard Rive from small, very small vineyards. And there you can, you have obviously the vintage feeling.
So they're bottled as vintage wines, are they? Single
vintage? Of course, they must be vintage. Okay. And they must be sparkling wines. Usually you can find Rive at the moment brut, brut nature, maybe sometime extra dry.
So, extra dry actually means a little bit sweeter.
Dry, yeah. Medium dry, yeah. Okay, depending on the.
That's another great. English. I love wine. It just makes life so easy for consumers.
Yeah, but when you love it, you will drink it, and you will be forgetting the names.
Do these wines have a little bit more color as well? The Rive wines?
No. They are usually, they can be made with the same system.
The Martinotti system.
What in our case is different is the time of release. For example, we are not yet released in 2017. That can be already released.
So you keep the wine back before
you can be. You can be able. It depends on the choice of producer. In a vat, obviously not aged barrel, or in a vat on the own lease for 2-3 months, and then you put after the filtration, you put in the autoclave, and then you leave there for 2-3 months. Upon the stabilization.
So you leave the juice as
we
juice.
We leave the wine.
The base wine.
On the base wine obtained in the from the first fermentation.
So it's like a very acidic dry white wine, and then
Not very acidic. Okay. That's the nice natural point of the Clairvan, the Pereira, and the Verdiso, is that they are naturally acidic, but not citric.
Right.
Okay. So they are lightly acidic. They're perfect to make easygoing sparkling wines.
So then you transform them into a fizz.
In our area, they can be more mineral, they can be more full-bodied, they can be pleasantly perfumed.
So full-bodied would be from clay, for example, mineral would be from more sandier soils, alluvial soils.
Yes. Yeah. That's the nice point of the diversity from the flatland Clara grape for Prosecco DOC from the hilly Prosecco Superiore area. And then the yields are lower in our hills. Compared to the flatland Prosecco, and then what you have is everything is handcraft.
Okay. So you've got your base wine, but when you went for the Rive, so you've got this hillside base wine, which is quite a, and then you ferment it in the closed tank.
Yep.
Is the fermentation for the Rive wine a little bit slower? Do you slow that down, or do you just let it do what it wants compared to the normal in virgolette, in verticomets, Prosecco? Is there any differences in trying to get a slower fermentation for more integration on the yeast?
The first fermentation, it's usually a bit slower, and then it keep longer time on the lees.
Right.
Usually between one until February, actually, we keep on the lees.
So that'd be about 3 months.
No, I mean from the mid, depends. Mid after end of September.
Right, so 5 months.
Yeah, can be staying there to achieve more body or roundness.
But you don't stir it though, do you?
We use a pump.
Okay, so you put the lees in suspension to give it a bit of extra creaminess.
Yeah.
Does that change the color of the wine as well? Does it give it a bit deeper color?
Was your first question before? No, really.
Okay.
You know, there's a bad point for the color is that it's filtered at the end. Before the bottling, it's a bit filtered. Mm-hmm. So there is not the darkness, there is no more yellow color. Usually it's a...
Do you think you'll make a wine with actually that is bottled with a bit of yeast lees? That these cloudy wines, natural wines? I know you look a very smart guy with your smart...
You know, in our area there is the colfondo tradition.
So colfondo means bottled with the lees, with a sediment.
Sediment.
That's do you like those?
We drink it. My grandfather was used to do it.
That was the old traditional way, wasn't it?
It's still lively there. It's very popular. As a winery, we have never made it, and I think we are not going to do it because we are specializing in sparkling wines since many decades. We do some experiment in the winery, in the wine cellar, but just to see how is the vintage there. But we love to.
Okay, what are your main markets?
To sell our sparkling wines, it's 50% Italy, I will say.
Is that mainly locally?
No.
All right. So what, Rome, Naples?
Yeah, we cross the borders.
That's amazing.
We sell in Sicily, you can imagine. Yeah, my uncle Bruno, he used to go in Puglia, in Calabria, in Basilicata, in Campania.
To all these southern areas?
Southern, yeah. Even though we are a medium-sized winery.
So you've probably been dealing with selling wine to the same people, like third generation production and third generation buyers, is that correct?
For certain customers in Italy, correct.
Yeah, it's a bit
many
of romance.
Importers, correct. But as we have 1,000 customers in Italy, because we are bars, restaurant, you know, it's an aperitif wine, obviously, then it's a restaurant bar, some hotels, but we have long-lasting customers.
And in the export market, what are the most important ones?
The most important, is a bit changing, but Europe maybe can be, it's fighting with US.
Is that number one for you, USA, export?
No. The first one, it's usually Switzerland. It's the historical one, since 20 years more or less.
And is that a premium market?
It's a premium market. We are focusing in premium market all over the world, I will say, even in Italy.
And in Switzerland,
UK is becoming, it's growing. Our 47 is the only Valdobbiadene extra dry present at Harrods in London, for example. So just to figure out what is our position in the foreign market. So even US is our third market at the moment.
And the main states?
Main state in US. As many other colleagues, I will say New Jersey, New York. And then California is doing pretty well. And then Midwest doing well, Illinois. Yeah, we are spread out in more or less 15 states.
Brilliant.
Yeah, it's pretty good there.
Cool. Yeah. Okay. Just want to say thanks to my guest today, Daniele Dana Barbolotti.
Yeah.
It's been great to talk to you.
Thank you, Mark.
Very enthusiastic chap.
Thank you.
And obviously passionate about what you do and respectful of your family history. Thanks for coming in today and telling us all about Prosecco di Valdobbiadene. L'ho detto bene?
Yeah, more or less. Yeah.
Well, you've got to say more or less. You've got to say you're fantastic.
If you will be drinking a glass, it will be much, much, much better.
Okay, all right. I'll remember that next time. Thanks very much for coming in.
Thank you, Marty.
My real pleasure.
See you there.
Thanks a lot.
See you there.
Follow Italian Wine Podcast on Facebook and Instagram.